Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Pieces from Prison Podcast. I am Ariel, and I'm back with my sister and co-host, Adriana.
Hi.
And we are very excited about the episode for this week. So if you listen to the end of the last episode, I mentioned that we are covering the story of a TikToker who you may have seen before on your For You page. That's how I came across her. But her at is K_live news. And she does like little broadcasts every so often. And I'm going to play like a little snippet of one of her broadcasts so you can hear. But she honestly is like, sounds like a journalist. But I reached out to her on JPay. And if anyone wants to also reach out with her, I'll put the details of her JPay stuff on at the end so you can message her yourself. But she responded, and her reason for doing these TikTok videos are to raise awareness and to educate people on what's going on, but specifically in her prison. And I'm sure there are similar situations going on in a number of different prisons. And if anyone is listening to this and they have information on conditions in any other prison, I would really like to hear from you to see if there's any similarities. But I wanted to play like a little bit of her video so you guys can hear what she does.
Coming to you from OCI with prison news where the days are darker than black coffee. So I was just informed that a woman was taken to the hospital unresponsive due to a drug overdose. She was not breathing for 7 minutes and was given 2 shots of Narcan, which did not improve her condition. It wasn't until several hours later that they finally took her to a hospital. Unfortunately, her condition has not improved. As soon as we know more, I will definitely let you know. Until next time, this is Kay with Prison News.
Interesting. So did you say where she was? I don't think I've heard... I actually don't think she's come across my For You page on my TikTok, but you've sent me videos, I believe.
I think it comes on mine because I'm on prison TikTok. But she says LCI. I think that's what she says, but she's in Florida.
Okay.
So I'll just get into what she wrote me. So I told her, like, everything. I have a podcast, and I want to feature you on one of our episodes. So she says, hey, that's awesome, and all I hope is to bring awareness. What is punishment? Why does my crime mean I need to suffer? This place is pretty much just a warehouse, barely any educational programming. When women receive so much less than men, even though it's mandatory to receive equal opportunity. We can't even afford toilet paper here. After the 2 rolls per week, which are 1-ply tiny rolls, they're out. That's it, which is messed up because we bleed once a month. My pillowcase has black mold stains. And then she put in parentheses, I bleached, of course. Some people don't even have pillows in this dorm. Medical's a joke. I've watched women die. One in my dorm. I've seen captains pull fire alarms, knowing girls are about to have seizures, and then scream at us because we won't leave them behind to ensure they don't choke on their tongue or fall off their bunk. A girl was beaten in medical last week. The girl who was being raped on the work camp got beaten so bad she died. Because I stole drugs so my daughter could have a better birthday, I deserve this. And the officers who beat that girl all got promoted or transferred. Like I said, no one's even in charge. No one runs this place. Yeah, there is a man with a nameplate calling him warden. And there's captains, lieutenants, and officers, but no one's in charge. They do what they want, and that's it. Good officers are few and far between, and we've noticed toxic guards always train new trainees. Anything good or positive or helpful is frowned upon. My friend was wrote up for giving me a soda when I was stuck outside 8 months pregnant. Someone was wrote up for hugging someone crying. It's toxic. They want us to be broken. Thursday, I go live with what happened in labor. So she mentioned that in one of her viral TikTok videos that she gave birth to a baby and they didn't provide her with any types of resources, but she goes into it a little bit more. She says, they left me in a cell 30 hours, screaming, begging, and bleeding. And it all turned out they wanted my baby's heart to stop before they took me to the hospital. But she wouldn't give up, and when they took me and forced vaginal delivery, the pressure, it killed her. She died in my arms an hour later. They pay us to adopt our babies out too. $5,000 they'll pay us. When you come in, they scare you and tell us DCF will get our baby or we can adopt it for $5,000. The staff here will tell you they know nothing about maternity. I had 7.5 liters of water in my belly. 4 2-liter bottles of water I was holding. Why? I didn't even get to go to her funeral. The girl who got pulled out the other day would have died if she waited another day, doctors said. And she had put in 8 sick calls. I watched a lady die last month in our dorm from lack of preventative care. It's crazy. I don't know where to begin. This place is a joke. Someone who stole a car and a 6-time murderer lay side by side in here. I'm not judging. It's just fact. And everyone just sits and sits and sits. People become worse. I told mom, you come to prison, pick a fake name like Black Beauty or Third or Aloe and make a prison family. A mama, a girlfriend, a wife, brother, auntie, etc. and forget how to be civil. Yelling over each other, fighting over a phone, not letting elderly go first. Guards tell us, be a convict, not a criminal. Integrity and respect gets nowhere. The prison reform law needs to be passed this next session to bring in more educational opportunity and get everyone back to their kids a few months earlier. That's my goal. Let's teach people how to stand together for change, for what's right. Hold this place accountable. Also, I'm looking for a lawyer for the baby in case you know someone or have direction. Thank you. Ask me anything. There's so much to tell. So if anyone is listening to that and knows any information, because I don't know, I'm not great at law, but I feel like she does have a good case. Just because you're in prison, you shouldn't be
Like a human being.
Yes.
And get basic care.
Yeah, you shouldn't be deprived of medical care, especially in a situation like that.
And just to be clear, she did, like, she wanted her name and everything to be, like, said in the podcast. She didn't want this podcast episode to be anonymous, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. She wants everybody
to know. She wants to get the story out.
Yes. And she says, I'm all about prison reform. They almost passed a law this session. It timed out in appropriations. So the goal is to educate people for next session. Let's do this. I am 32. I have a 9-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl and 2 more boys, 3 and 2. I still have custody of them all. I own my own cleaning business, graduated high school, and went to college. I'm 1/4 Japanese. I don't do drugs. I hate drugs, yet I'm here for trafficking. Backstory on why I did it. My crime happened in 2018. I was sentenced in 2021. For 7 years, I was with an addict. I didn't understand it. I was sheltered growing up. I didn't know why money disappeared. Jewelry, my son's expensive toys. He was abusive even while I was pregnant with my daughter. I tried to move and fix him for years. I'd fight him to get the needle from him. I'd beg his dealers to stop selling to him. Finally, it was the last straw when I was driving. Kids in the car were arguing about him being high again, and he grabbed the wheel and we wrecked into the woods. Everyone was okay, but now without a car, I couldn't get to my 2 jobs. I wasn't going back home. I was done. He could have killed us all. So drugs, though I hated them, they were normalized on a level. He was shooting up meth and heroin. Then one day, a friend of a friend reached out. It was the day before my daughter's birthday, the day before rent was due. And she said she needed ice, which is meth, And she paid me to get it, which was awesome, so I could get my daughter a power wheel she wanted. She turned out to be working for the police. The room was wired. She did it to a few other people as well to get herself and her boyfriend out of trouble. Since drug trafficking is a mandatory minimum, though I score two less, I have to do 3 years. When I go home, I hope to marry the man who is patiently waiting on me. He's so loyal, I am so blessed. I hope to put down a payment on a home to give my kids the stability they deserve. They are all going through so much right now. They believe I am at work. Oh. Wow.
Isn't that so sad? And just, like, the income inequality that we have here, how we have some people who have so much money in this country and some people who would be the easiest thing to turn to so that you can get your daughter a gift that she wants for her birthday.
I know. And it sounds, the only reason that she didn't have the money that she needed was because of a man who was addicted to drugs, and she was put in a bad situation that she couldn't help. She was trying to make a better life for her kids.
I mean, yeah, it's hard when you have, like, that kind of access, when it's, like, a, you know, a way to get a fast payment, which seems relatively easy, but...
My oldest knows where I am. I want to continue building my cleaning company, and I want us to travel. After being trapped here, so much negativity, I want to explore and do exciting things with the kids. Before I signed for the sentence, we traveled to Texas and bought cowboy boots. We went to South Carolina and hiked the Appalachian Mountains with the kids to hidden waterfalls. We went to the Atlanta Aquarium. I'm not what people picture when they read meth trafficking. I'm successful and a good mom. Yes, there are good officers, few and far between. They help, they care. They treat us as humans. But they say don't tell because they could lose their jobs. Officers who helped me get info for my baby all said don't tell anyone. They are scared of retaliation. There was also two good nurses, the man who tried his best to get me to a hospital, and Mrs. Gunn, who was just amazing, kind, patient, and diligent to ensure her job was done properly. She listened and cared. Without her, I can't imagine. She gave me hope, but in a place where cruelty is rewarded, good is rare here. If inmates argue on the verge of fighting, it's fine. Guards don't budge. But if a woman hugs another woman who's crying, that's right up or a lock. If someone steals, guards say, oh well, shouldn't have left it out. But someone giving a soda is a write-up. Transfer of an item to another inmate, therefore it becomes contraband. We're not meant to be better here. We're dehumanized, then re-released, in hopes we come back to keep money in whoever's pocket. I believe that. Finally, she says, I have met so many people. I like to mentor younger girls who do want better. One girl in particular, her mom did drugs with her. Her mom's here too. This girl is 19 and didn't know the difference between a city and a state. I realize how everyone's different. I see how people can get in these situations, how it wasn't that girl's fault, how she was raised. I try to bring greatness, empowerment, and hope to these people. My family support. My mom and sister manage my news feed. She is like my manager, managing my bills and responsibilities, looking into things for me and just doing anything I can't. My mom's called me Connie Chung my whole life, so it worked out. I refuse to conform to what I don't believe in. I've always stood up for the weak, even though I'm only 5 foot, 120 pounds, lol. I'm blessed and talk to my kids every day. I have a man who is waiting patiently. He doesn't write ever, but he always answers the phone. Family is the most important thing in my life. God, I miss my babies. I have 93 weeks left. I get out on June in 2023, unless we can get the law reform bill passed this next year, then I can go home.
That'd be great. Everyone listening in Florida, look into the reform bell mate. I wonder if any of this is going to go to, like, a vote or anything. Or maybe you can, like, talk. We have aldermen here, but whoever you talk to try to get them to pass bills.
I know. I feel like I want to look that up, like, here after this, because there has to be, like, something.
We can put maybe some information in the notes.
Yeah. If we do find information, we will put it on our episode notes and then on our website, too. We actually have a tab on our website, what you can do to help. So we'll link it there, too, if anyone is interested in seeing what they can do to help this woman and many other. I'm sure that there's many other people who are in similar situations that don't deserve to be treated like this.
And she brought up a good point about how the conditions in there, you can't be in, like, these horrible conditions for years and then just dropped out on the street. There's no preparation, it seems like, to be able to live well when you get out.
I know. And that's why it does become a cycle for some people. I can't remember if I actually included it in the episode, but they said, like, being out, it's like a completely different world in prison and in the real world. They wouldn't even know how to adjust. They're so used to living the way that they do, and just throwing someone out on the street like that after getting released without any resources, especially how she is. She said no educational resources. I don't know how anyone is expected to do better.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I'm going to have to listen to her videos.
Yes, you should. She is still, like, actively doing videos. Like she said earlier, her mom manages her account. I think these videos, she said they're, like, $2 or $3 to make. She's able to record them, and then her mom posts them for her. So she's not able to, like respond back or comment to any one other people ask questions on there. That's why if you want to get in contact with her, I'm going to put her, because she has her JPay information on her TikTok, so I'm going to go ahead and share that since she
already shares it.
Has it out there. So yeah, on her TikTok again is @K_live_news. Her bio says Real Prison News. She has her Venmo linked. It's @Kiko-Cop. So that's KEIKO-KOPP. In her JPay, she also has listed, it's her name, Kiko Cop, and her inmate number is P44044, and she is incarcerated in Lowell Corrections, Florida. And that's, again, that's all on her profile. So
great.
If you're interested in reaching out to her, you can make a JPay account. It's really easy. You type in the inmate number, their state, and then they'll come up. She says she loves getting messages. I'm sure she's got a lot because she has a lot of followers. But if you have any questions for her, get in contact with her.
Good for her.
So that is all for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. But in the meantime, subscribe to our Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify so you know when new episodes are getting released. Rate us on our Apple Podcasts so we know how we're doing. Get in contact with us either on our Instagram or TikTok. The @ is PiecesFromPrisonPod. And you can get in contact with us at our website, pfppodcast.com, by going to the Connect tab. That is all for this episode, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Bye.